Feeding Matters understands the significant financial difficulty that comes with supporting a loved one with PFD or ARFID. Each fall, we open the Family Assistance Program. Applications for the 2026 cycle are currently being accepted and are due October 11th. Learn more and apply today at itsnotpickyeating.org.
Presented by Feeding Matters. With host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding Does Matter.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Feeding Does Matter. I'm Jacqueline Peterson, CEO of Feeding Matters.
And I'm Haley Estrom. I'm an associate professor in the School of Nursing at University of North Carolina, Wilmington. How are you doing today, Jacqueline?
Feeling so much better at the start of this week than I was at the end of last week, which was during our psych summit. How are you doing, Haley? Whose birthday is almost here?
Yeah, that is true. And I'm a twin, so my sister's birthday is coming too. I always have to mention that.
It's nice to be able to share your birthday with someone that's so close.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know any different, but yeah.
That's true. Yeah, you wouldn't know how like I feel or most people feel.
I mean, but yeah, it is fun. It's fun to say it's my sister's birthday. It's mine too. Thank you. I'm glad that you're feeling better. Yeah. So the psych summit.
Yeah, it is a hugely packed day. And everybody has different experiences based on how they watch it. So just behind the scenes at Feeding Matters, we always are in like a almost like a digital command center in a way of like we watched on the screen and then there's other rooms where, you know, Athena is bouncing back and forth to make sure everything's running. And so in that sense, it's like a lot of activity, but I always am a little bit intrigued by those that get to watch it just like in their own like space and environment, like I'm assuming you did. Is because you're like, all attention is right there. Your attention isn't like pulled to how, you know, how the next session's going to go or how many minutes till my session or anything like that.
Can you say just a little more? Because I had just a tiny peek into how you all are doing that. Because I hopped into the ethics one a tidbit early and I saw you and John
so conversing. Grateful.
And for just a second, I was like, hey, you guys are live. I thought you were live, but you weren't.
I mean, we were, and you let us know that we were.
But no one expected people to be in there yet because the other one was still wrapping up. I had just come in early because I didn't want to miss it. Because I'm on the ethics project, the Center for Feeding Ethics.
You're co-PI on it. It's a huge role on it. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, but regardless, so I got to see a little bit of the behind the scenes of how you, you know, prepare to tee up the next one as the other one is wrapping up. So I imagine you were teeing that up in another room and John was obviously, because I know he's in Atlanta, he was online in Atlanta and you guys were coordinating and getting set. I mean, it's very impressive how this is all coordinated and set. You know, and meanwhile, you have hundreds of people all over the world logging in and being on, you know, coming in on Eastern Standard Time for the agenda.
Yes.
But it's also going to be available on demand starting early September. And that's going to be fantastic to be able to catch things like that maybe some people may have caught parts of it, or maybe you're planning on catching all of it later or filling in some blanks. Because it was just a really great agenda. And we're going to recap it now and hit some highlights.
And talk about a few things that you touched on too. So Athena Fleacek is a member of the Feeding Matters team. She's our program and events manager, and she, has really transformed how our digital events and our educational events run. She has such a great vision for not only making sure that we are digital first in our education, but also patient and family centered, as well as like multidisciplinary, and a community behind the computer screen. And so she spends a lot of time with the committee, really being intentional about how the day runs. And so there is a lot that people don't see that's behind what happens on a day like the summit or the conference that we also do, where, you know, the conference committee, you know, the conference committee has all like contributes to, or the summit committee in this case, the summit committee did a great job of being able to be a chat moderator. So they split up that role. They make sure that there is a presence in the chat. Some people have been like, oh, the chat's too much. I don't love the chat. Other people love the chat. We feel like it's an added element of community to it. And that's why we always try to express, like, make sure you follow the values of Feeding Matters when you're in the chat. Because it's part of our extended community, is being able to know that you're not alone watching this webinar asynchronously, that we're all in this together. I know you won't get that same experience on demand, but when it does move on demand, it's a great opportunity as well. And so that's something that happens behind the scenes. Like you saw, we get some sessions like teed up and are doing some tech checks before they go live. And that's what you found yourself in the middle of. And what John and I did not realize was that we were actually live. But because the day had run long, we thought we were going to be the only ones in that room. But it comes available at the time the session is supposed to start. So I was really grateful to you for like saying a comment, because it helped me be like, oh yeah, we are live. Because as much as we have a command center, we're not checking all of it. And so yeah, we'll have Athena on to talk through what that looks like as well. Because I think people would find a lot of interest in how she designs our events and how she supports the summit committee and then our other conference committee.
And it's also really great, I think, for participants to know that their chat and that the questions that they have, if they're not addressed during the time, that those things do get to the speakers.
They do.
So those questions and all those things are reviewed. Like, they are able to get to the people that those questions were intended for.
Yeah. So it's kind of like living our talk. Like, it's really important to us that we're hearing our community, and that's another way that we're doing that. And so, yeah, each speaker gets the questions and the comments and stuff that were asked during their session. It's hard as a speaker to keep, like when I was on with John, I wasn't looking at the comment section. It can be challenging, or distracting even, but I just like that it's there. Yeah, so I definitely encourage you all to view it on demand. It will be available on demand for a while. And so, in talking through some of the themes that we saw at this summit, I'm really curious to what you think, Haley, because I always love your perspective on these things. But I'm just to start, you know, summits and even educational conferences, they don't always present like an organized, this is Feeding Matters curriculum. Every single educational event that we have has like a submission process. It's often blinded and then reviewed even more because our accreditation is really strict, because we do multiple disciplines with accreditation. And so they present different views. Sometimes those views are aligned. Sometimes those views are different takes on things. And so what I love about it is we continue to push what the world needs to be thinking about as it relates to feeding, and continue pursuing what works for which child. Kind of that thing that we keep coming back to of like, this field is still developing, this research is still emerging, and as we need to better understand what works for the individual, we also need to kind of characterize how do all these different treatments that they're not, like what applies to which kid, how can we get a child and a family into the treatment that's going to work best for their situation sooner.
Right. I think it's, and yeah, instead of saying like, this is the set curriculum, these are the things that Feeding Matters says people ought to be doing.
Maybe we'll get there someday as it evolves, but like, that's right, just not where we're at.
That is not what these summits, that is not what these conferences are. So as you move from one session to the next, if it feels like you're not being told it should be this way, and then the next one should immediately follow, and, you know, these things should all be in line. What you're being presented with a bunch of different options and ways things can be and different choices. It's like a menu. Of different, you know, a different selection of things that, like, this is one way that things can work for children and families, and it can work. And this is another way that things can work for children and families and be successful. And, you know, things just have to be selected from the menu to choose what can be best for that child and that family at that time.
Yeah. But with that too, what I thought was really great is you could tell the different themes that were, like, strung throughout. And that's what I thought we might talk about today, if you're open to it, is, like, there did seem to be so much alignment in terms of, and it's funny because, you know, with this Center for Feeding Ethics work, we're really trying to articulate a set of shared values. And I thought it was so cool to see some of that work already come through some of these sessions, that there might already be those words articulated. And we may just need a little bit of, like, let's wrap it in a bow and get it out there. Who knows? You know, it's, we'll pursue that in the focus group piece. But I was excited about that. So,
well, and that's one of the things I love the most about this, is that even when some approaches might not identify themselves as being aligned very closely in their own approach, what they do have is these similarities and these overall themes. And the idea that things like, and I'll just start with some of our things that were the themes overall, right? The ideas that families are the experts, right? I can say that.
Overwhelmingly, every single session, I think, if not verbatim, said it in how they approached what they were talking about, for sure. I felt like I heard this from the very beginning all the way through the end, when we were able to honor Suzanne Evans Morris and her legacy that she left the field in her passing. But that connection and relationships matter. I really appreciated every speaker that talked about the connection piece and the relationship piece, and that it's not something to set aside because we're focusing on feeding, but rather it's core to what does feeding intervention or feeding assessment look like. I thought that was, like, a huge, huge pearl that was, like, strung throughout all of the sessions.
We did hear that all throughout the day. And I remember, I remember hearing Megan and Will talk about it, especially in the morning when they were talking about the providers. They recall playing games with them and like doing the other things to make those nice connection points. And then especially that relational care talk, that one really spoke to me.
No, it's true. Cause even when I was interviewing them, you know, we had to try to reduce it down because our interview went longer than the time that we had allotted. So it was a pre-recorded session, but, they do talk the most fondly about those that were able to see them as individuals and see them as whole persons that they needed to connect with and do things outside of just the feeding stuff. And that was really cool to hear, because I think the ones that they had a harder time with were just, like, when it was treated more like cut and dry.
Like a task.
Yeah. So I agree. It was kind of strung throughout that connection, that relationship piece. Those are components of trauma-informed care. I know that there were specific. You were against that. So
yeah, go no, ahead. I mean, you're exactly right. It goes right into trauma-informed care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there were a few sessions that explicitly kind of acknowledged the tenets of trauma-informed care that are really well articulated and adopted now by the medical community. But it was also great to those that where that wasn't a part of the presentation, you could see the components of trauma-informed care as a part of what they were presenting about.
And then for having holistic assessment.
Yeah.
think for looking at the whole situation, considering them as, you know, considering patients and their families as a whole, looking at the all together and not just looking at here.
She's just pointing at her mouth. Yeah, kind of like everything that's going on. I think one thing that we've really done well as a community, and I think continue to need to focus on, is the need to continue asking why. That we may be able to kind of get some components of that assessment, but there's like five whys behind maybe that initial thing that we're seeing. And so that's a huge part of that continuous pursuit of improvement in assessment and treatment is the why behind it all, and continuing to pursue that why as well. I holistically, I think it was also, you know, when we had on Ruth and Daria talking about the Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change, and they talked about how much culture hasn't been as much of a part of some of the presentations, and they'd like to see that more. I thought that that was great, that like not only did we talk about holistic assessment and honoring culture and being responsive to culture, but also considering culture as a factor in terms of like, what does it look like to have age-appropriate feeding, or what are the contexts in which we need to think about goal setting, and how can we consider the factors of culture to the benefit of intervention and treatment? And so I loved the cultural session too, because it hasn't been something that we've been able to talk about too much. So I would love to encourage anyone out there that has more cultural pieces to share to submit some stuff to conference and future summits, just to get a little bit more information out to the community about that.
So then moving into the last session for the day, Jacqueline, you had a conversation with John Lysacker. He's the ethicist with the Center for Feeding Ethics. And it was the Care We Share, Ethics Across the Table. Could you talk to us about how you were talking about the healthy communities and how they disagree well?
Yeah, it was actually a really great idea to have kind of more of a discussion and have it at the end of the day. I thought the summit committee did a great job in organizing the agenda that way, because so much of the work of envision really that of the Center for Feeding Ethics is having a shared deliberative community, a community that is in conversation with each other and pursuing these agreements to kind of the pursuit of moral ambition and the ability for us to continue to get better and articulate our values and build on those and grow together.
Can you say a little bit about what disagreeing well is?
Yeah.
Everybody will get that.
No, they won't. So this is a good point. So, first, before we got into the healthy communities disagree well piece, we presented what the aims of the center were. Because I think people have heard you and I talk a lot about the Center for Feeding Ethics, or I've heard things here and there, maybe in the community or in different meetings. But that session really dives into what kind of the different phases of it are. There's so much of the Center for Feeding Ethics for us is this vision and this goal, and it's so much bigger in our minds than the current project. And that will just come when we're able to get more funding for the center itself. But currently, the project is really the listening and the focus groups and articulating the values that support practice and support those intervention components. And so one of the things that John talked about, and I always love talking with him because he always has these statements that it's part of being a philosopher. I think you have to have your taglines. And sometimes the taglines fully are going over my head. And hopefully that was my role. It was slowing down some of those statements and really diving a little bit deeper. And I do, as you hear us talk about the Center for Feeding Ethics, if you do feel like you're hearing language that doesn't feel as accessible or approachable, please reach out to us and let us know so we can either revisit them or articulate them better or have that discussion more. Because we do know that the language of ethics is different. John will say something and we're like, we need a John interpreter sometimes. And
yeah,
so,
I ask him to.
Yeah, we have to So he did this great when he was thinking about shared deliberative community. And he said, healthy communities disagree well. And he really focused on two components of that phrase. What does it mean to disagree with one another? And what does it mean to disagree well? Because, people are comfortable, I think especially online, even in person too, of being able to disagree with one another. That's not, that's not how I see it, or I think different. Yeah. And what we were seeing to back up a little bit, when you register for the Psych Summit, and we encourage you to do so, you will be asked, when is a time when you faced an ethical, an ethical situation that you needed to think through. And so a lot of people that were sharing elements of, I disagreed with this provider, or I'm a family member and I disagreed with the person telling me what I needed to do for my care, for my child. And so there always will be areas of disagreement. And his point was, we don't want to just pursue disagreement. We want to pursue disagreeing well with each other, which is both of us showing up to the conversation in a way that allows for an openness to each other's dialogue, an ability to actively listen and try to really intently think about where the other person is coming from. And really kind of that's where he gets with that that word of texture. How are you showing up as a person into that conversation? And disagreeing well means, I want to lean into understanding you and where you're coming from, and kind of back to that component of why, staying curious about maybe why you have that. Do I need more context? Do we understand and we're talking the same language? Are you using words that I'm defining differently than you may be defining it? So really the ability for us as a community to take a pause and really think about, we do need to have healthy disagreement and we do need to have shared deliberation to pursue and further this field, but can we do it in a way that allows us to do it well? And there is this term that he didn't get into too much, so maybe we'll have to have him on here, is the betterist versus the perfectionist. And I loved that so much because I think some of the challenges that we're facing as we're trying to move this field forward is you know, there's just so much that needs to be done that it often feels like really overwhelming because everybody has different ideas of how to move the field forward. And I always think of Feeding Matters as a facilitator of the community's ideas and our ability to move the system forward based on what everybody is telling us and what their ideas are. And how do you like, how do you blend, you know, 3,000 ideas together in a way that, like, moves things, moves the needle? Yeah. And so I love that because it's about, like, you know, there, it's not the right or wrong way to do something. It's let's get a little bit better each time and let's understand each other a little bit each time. So it allows for a little bit of like that temperature to go down from any sort of moral policing or any of that, like that we're all assuming good intent and we're really trying to get better. And the other person across the table that I may disagree with is trying to get better. And that's even in the context of care. One of the things that came up the most was when a family has certain values that are in disagreement with a provider's, oftentimes maybe a physician's intent to the care, is like that's a heavy conflict and tension that's happening a lot, not only in feeding, but in healthcare a lot too. But maybe understanding where each other is coming from can help reframe the conversation to allow for that dialogue to exist in a way that allows us to move the conversation forward and move the care forward. Because at the end of the day, the physician wants what's best. They just have a different context of what that means than what the family wants. And we just need to understand each other a little bit better to be able to make our way there. So I loved the idea of the betterist versus the perfectionist. And he underscored something too of staying curious and what are those inherent values, and we will articulate them in this process. But there were other people during this day that really talked about staying curious too. And I'm obsessed with staying curious. Anything you have to say on staying curious? What I will say is I have always really appreciated when you're in conversations because you do bring a level of curiosity and are able to ask more questions that lead to like a deeper understanding or more context. Like you bring that element of curiosity. And I know that I just personally, and probably on behalf of Feeding Matters, do really well when working with someone that has that value of really leaning into curiosity.
Thank you. What I think is interesting throughout the day, and I'm always curious to see, is all the discussion and questions. That's the researcher. And
yeah, I'm sure your qualitative research hat goes crazy during the comment section.
It totally does. But that's the thing that I like to see throughout the day, is the questions and curiosities of others as they have throughout the different presentations they're asking. I mean, and I think that we can see, you know, just the comments and questions that people and how they're reacting to the different presentations. That's always interesting to me, to see how people are finding things and just the comment lines and question lines that they generate.
Yeah. And it allows us a good temperature check for where the community is at, as it relates to what we're trying to do with the Center for Feeding Ethics and that whole, like, how are we having our conversations? That's a great thing that I see from it. I also love when I see people connecting with other people in the comment section. I think that's the community element that we want.
It makes me think we're right on track with that project. I think it's a really great time to be doing it.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think...
And talking about the different values associated with care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I do really hope that. And the other thing about the comment section that I like too is people can share their own, like, stories. And that can be... I mean, it was so cool to see so many lived experience parents sharing kind of like their stories while someone was presenting it. Both kind of all the different ways that's shared, whether it's in congruence with it or maybe slightly different, but it allows for this like texture between the educational content and the balance of personal anecdotes and how to support both. another thing John was going to talk about that we'll have to bring him back because we didn't have enough. We just ran out of time. But he talked about like not relying too much, like not, I'm going to get the words wrong. So we will have to have him back, but not relying too much on the only, like the anecdotes and the storytelling behind it. But like there is the balance between it. And that's what I think we're trying to pursue with a lot of our work is how do we balance all of these things? How do we balance like 14 different opinions? How do we balance the needs of so many different systems working together?
There's always the thought of like, who are we not? Most people. We're not hearing from or not getting chat.
I know. I always
most
like
of the people.
Yeah. So. And I always want to ask like, who are we missing from the conversation? Because I think that's a really important thought as well as we try to really, and that's why a comment section isn't qualitative research because there isn't like the recruitment criteria that you're trying to meet or any of that, but it still allows us to be in community with each other and that like we're in this together and we're watching this together. And that's also why we love our speakers that do it live. I know all of the speakers would do it live if they could. I know Claire, she's on the other side of the country of the world. So that made it a little bit challenging. But the speakers did a phenomenal job of being able to, you know, present in real time. We didn't get that off track as it relates to time for having such a live session day. And, I do think it translates well to on demand as well because, you know, this content is really good and it has changed over the years as well. We built this psychology summit around our consensus building efforts. It originally started with our consensus on ARFID and PFD and the diagnostic overlap. And then it kind of transitioned a little bit to leveraging the summit to, you know, look at like where are psychologists aligned in that diagnostic overlap and how do we grow it from there. And so what I love about this summit is this recognition and acknowledgement that the psychosocial components of treating PFD and ARFID are so much broader than looking through a specific discipline's lens, and that there are elements of psychosocial support in every discipline in this work. And it's a matter of asking the right questions for how we can learn to support our families and our patients in the ways that allow for it within our worlds and what our experience and qualifications are. And so that's the intent behind this summit is we really knew that we needed to focus more on the psychosocial and the psychology aspects themselves and build from there. Yeah, I was just really excited. I mean, this summit was great. I always love how we share lived experience pieces and the speakers did such a great job of doing that too. There was so much connection, not only talked about, but being shared. Yeah, I thought it was just great. And thank you so much if you were there with us, joining us on that day. You know, there's depending on where you were, I'm sure it was either super early or super late for you. It was super early for us in Arizona. But we've learned to make it work. And, you know, we just eat lunch at like 9:30 a.m. and it's fine.
I feel like we really lucked out on the Eastern Coast.
We made that decision at Feeding Matters, I think like 8 years ago at this point, but it was because, so for those that don't know, Arizona doesn't change time zones. And so it became way too complicated for us to be able to host anything virtually, and use like our time zone, use the mountain or the Arizona time zone, because like right now we're considered like, I think like mountain standard or something, but it's really like we are aligned with the Pacific time zone at this point in time. And then in November, we will align more closely with the mountain time zone. So we're like, we're either California's time zone or like Colorado's time zone. And so we were just like, okay, we're just, everybody knows what East Coast time is. Everybody knows where they are in relation to East Coast time. We're just going to do East Coast time. So yes, in that way, it is East Coast centered. And it does impact our international attendees the most. So those of you that join us internationally, I know you're joining us at really random times. And please know how appreciative I am for you joining us in that sense to be able to come live. And for those of you that can't, we love to see you on demand as well.
Appreciate it to all of you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Any final thoughts? How'd you walk away from the summit?
I liked it. I felt like it was a well-rounded day.
Yeah, they did such a great job with the agenda. It was so well-rounded. Thank you to Athena. Thank you to our summit chairs. Thank you to our summit committee and all of the chat moderators and everybody who made the day possible. Huge, huge, huge shout out to all of you. So join us. It will go live September 7th. If you weren't able to catch it live, it'll go on demand. And you have through October to be able to watch it. The last day will be Friday the 30th. So you'll be able to get in before your Halloween plans on that Saturday. But thanks everyone for joining us. And thanks for joining us for this recap. See you all next week.